Call line is 844-967-2789. I guess I've been gone for 2 weeks and I can't say that anymore, but it will be fine. That's 844-967-2789. And I'm here with Joe Lazar and Eric. How do you pronounce your last name? I'm sorry.
Franzi.
Franzi.
No worries.
Just how it looks.
Yeah.
All right. So I know that we were talking about voting as well. So what is kind of the timeline for registration? I know that registration with the election coming up right now is kind of difficult, but what are some of the ways that you can register to vote and participate, even with some of the roadblocks that are being put up?
Well, yes. Go ahead.
So typically you can register to vote, at a government building or at the DMV or online, which is typically the easiest way to do it, by mail, right? There's many different ways to do it, but there are often deadlines. And so for the August 9th primary, the deadlines for online and mail registration have actually passed. So to vote in the primary, you're just going to find out your vote at your polling place. And on the day of the election, you can go in person and you can register and vote in the state of Wisconsin. But for the November general elections, those deadlines are a little later. So check your deadlines, online registration, mail registration, or in-person registration is available to all voters.
And there are obviously like various means or methods of voting still. So the most common and the thing you see, you know, the majority of people doing typically is voting on election day, but that's not the only option. You can vote still, in person, early in person, if that is an option you're still considering, whether you've been registered or not. And you can all find out all this information, kind of the like state of Wisconsin database or reference is just myvote.wi.gov. And you just put in your address from there and it tells you like where your polling place would be or when it, the hours that it's open and so on and so forth.
And there are a lot of resources out there, especially in Madison, for people who want to be pointed in the right direction and, you know, just use Google and reach out. And there are always people willing to help, help you register and figure this all out.
And if you already voted, right, and your candidate has dropped out of the race in the last 4 days, like we're seeing more and more of, specifically Sarah Godlewski with suspending her campaign this morning and Tom Nelson doing the same last week, you can spoil your ballot 3 times. This has been a big topic on the station this week. So just if you're in Wisconsin, you already voted and your candidate has dropped out, check up how to you work with your clerk's office and you can take care of that. You can fix it up.
Wow. That is good to know.
We live in an interesting political climate, don't we? Yeah. that option there's there too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what was it that you had said? What was the link for finding out the information?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's just like the state of Wisconsin site, but it's myvote.wi.gov or, as we've been saying to you, just Google that, like Google how to vote in Wisconsin and it'll be the first one up there.
And you can typically always look at your Secretary of State's office too. Mm-hmm. They'll have all that information.
If you want, I mean, Wisconsin Conservation Voters, we have a webpage dedicated to this too about the election and some of the endorsements we've made, and has like resources on how to vote and do that smartly as well.
Mm-hmm. And I know YVC also has kind of a scorecard as well, you more about the candidates. Mm-hmm. What are some good resources for when you want to know more about the candidates or your specific, the specific candidates?
Totally. Well, like you said, we do release a scorecard about every year, and we just released our annual one for this political year, like a couple weeks ago. So it's fresh out on the presses and you can just go to our website, conservationvoters.org/scorecards, where we have a lot of information there. We spend the year, like a lot of my coworkers and I, tracking politicians and policies as they move through the legislature here in Madison. And then based on the performance that we see people doing, we assign ratings. So we have both like an honor roll for folks who we think are like conservation champions, have been doing really great work to defend both our democracy and our environment. And then we have a dishonor roll. So, I mean, some folks who have made the honor roll are like Representative Francesca Hong here in Madison, Governor Evers, Attorney General Call, all folks we've actually already come out and endorsed this early on too. We have different rounds of endorsements. So like some folks have already been endorsed, like those people I just mentioned, but then another major round of endorsements will come out about a month on August 17th, which is a Wednesday.
We also have a tip from a listener here. Catherine Penzack says you can cast an absentee vote in person at local libraries right now. You can also register at the library. So call your local library for information on how to do some of this.
That's right. Yeah, that's great. And then like in general with the scorecard, like I was saying too, we assign both that honor roll for folks who've been doing really well, and you can look at the document. It's not super long. It's about 12 pages. You know, read it as you will for policies and how people have been doing in our state office. But then we also, you know, critique some folks who we think have really, you know, missed out or disappointed voters and constituents here in Wisconsin by being actively opposed to environmental justice. And I mean, probably the most notable example, like we've all been talking about too, is Ron Johnson. He's pretty awful. So we're, one of our goals too is at WCV is to make sure that this is his last term in office. And, you know, so we don't have someone who like really is just out of touch with the priorities around a clean and safe planet here in Wisconsin. So yeah, we want to make sure he's defeated too.
Yeah. And I will say this, these are my personal opinions too. I know Neighbored House, we're not very political. We're going to get involved hopefully in community organizing and everything. But myself, I think Lieutenant Governor Barnes is a very good candidate. And I think he's a good candidate for a lot of reasons to beat Ron Johnson.
Well, the other candidates seem to agree with you.
Yes. I think they all saw. Well, I think we've all also seen on the left side of the aisle. Eric and I were having a little conversation before, you know, circling back really quickly to that Supreme Court conversation. You know, conservative voters got that victory because they were active, they organized, they voted every single election, they didn't fret over candidate quality. If he had an R, you know, he or she had an R next to their name, they voted. And that's sort of the passion you need on the left in a two-party system to combat that. And Lieutenant Governor Barnes is someone who's connected with many different groups of people so far in this election. And you've got traditional groups who support Senator Johnson, who so far have looked at Lieutenant Governor Barnes' job with the Evers administration admirably. And I think there's an opening here to really kind of steal a Senate seat in a national environment that you wouldn't think it would be possible. But I'm really hopeful about that race. And our attorney general is another race. You know, we're seeing right now with the democracy theft and the democracy stuff, how important an attorney general is to keeping democracy on track. And Josh Call has done a great job in my mind for 4 years. So getting these quality candidates on the ballot has been a real great achievement for the Democratic Party. And as Eric was saying, it's really important to get him across the finish line because so much depends on it. The stakes are so high right now. So Josh Call, Mandela Barnes, Tony Evers, all the way down to your local races, you know, pay attention to the candidates and get out there.
Mm-hmm. And paying attention to your alders and the ordinances that they are supporting or not supporting the plan.
Totally. Yeah.
It all comes down to a very, very local level. Sorry. But yeah, I'm wondering also, I know like Neighborhood House is on a very, very local level. And I know Wisconsin conservation voters, I don't know why that's so difficult to say, has been, I'm just wondering like, would you consider partnering with the other organization and kind of like, what do you think that would not look like exactly, but kind of like on a community level and also kind of more on a, like a political level as well, because they're both very interchangeable.
Well, yeah, of course. And, you know, at Neighbored House, as we get started, you know, Noemi's gonna be my right-hand woman with our advocacy and community organizing, and we're gonna get started on local issues. And it's really about the quality of life in the Greenbush and Vilas neighborhoods, right? So it can be things ranging from trying to get a dog park built or getting roads fixed to more pertinent housing issues. and climate issues, right? So Eric, I think, would be the first to tell you that climate affects everybody. And so partnering with groups like Wisconsin Conservation Voters that have been around, that have a record of success, that have a network already in place, right, that we can plug into and kind of spread that to our community, you know, I think that's the lifeblood of both organizations, at least from the Neighborhood House perspective. Once we get started, you know, with getting our community organizing together, that's exactly the kind of partnership that I think we'd be looking to do.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's great to hear, and I'm completely on board. I mean, as an organizer and as like just someone who believes in community power too, like there is no need to always be reinventing the wheel. There's so many groups. I'm pretty firmly believe that. And I think that's what kind of keeps me going in like this work that can often be fairly demoralizing. Like there are so many people who are really committed to justice and like making our world a better place, doing so many things. I think where we struggle, and we've talked about this kind of electorally too sometimes, where we really need to come together is just not always reinventing the wheel, but working together and collaborating with groups that are already know what to do. Like people have the tools. We just need to implement them a lot of times more often and coordinate amongst ourselves. You know, people who have been impacted by like PFAS pollution in the state have the best lived experience to deal with it, right? Folks like communities of color who have been impacted by environmental injustice and like fossil fuels and pipelines, like line 5 or line 3, they know most how to advocate for themselves too. And so just connecting with those communities who have that identity and lived experience is wonderful. And like at a, you know, right around here too, with like Neighborhood House and groups that are tapped into the community as a, like a lifeblood, a center, is how we really accomplish change and start to like build up those blocks of both voting and just like, more importantly, being an advocate, an activist, an engaged citizen too. I mean, and we're always taking on like volunteers and folks who want to get involved. You can just go to our website. Again, it's conservationvoters.org/volunteer in this case, or you can look up my name there too, and various other people I work with. But we do various, you know, canvassing, getting out the vote, phone calls, texts, and we're always happy to connect with people. We're going to be doing a lot of volunteering on college campuses this fall. That's going to be a big component of our focus and our campaign plan. So if you're a student, even more so. We love to connect with people in those communities.
Yeah, thank you. I know that you kind of, Eric, expressed kind of your idea of like hope and collaboration. Joe, from your perspective, what is kind of something that makes you feel more hopeful within this kind of like larger realm of all of these different issues coming and intersecting together, as well as maybe the, I know you know the Neighborhood House website as well. So
yeah, sure. No, thanks for the opportunity to plug Neighborhood House, which I will take. But before I do that, something that makes me hopeful is meeting people like you, Noemi, and people like Eric, and people who, when the times get tough, the tough get going, right? What's that old saying? So, because there's really no other option, right? Like sometimes it can feel really demoralizing when you look at it and think like, is the battle already lost? Was it lost years ago? Like, and we didn't even realize, right? Like some kind of Star Wars type, you know, we lost this battle to the dark side. But the only way out of that in the short, medium, and long term is to stay hopeful and to stay committed and to stay engaged and to, you know, the cynical forces count on us to not get engaged. That's what they want, right? The moneyed interests and the, you know, the opponents to the climate legislation, right, for whatever reason, want us to stay disengaged. So the only way to beat that is to get engaged. Neighborhood House Community Center, we have a lot of great programs and services. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about them real quick. Noemi is our programs assistant. She does a great job. She helps us out in our food pantry, which we have expanded hours now Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 4 to 7 p.m., and Thursday, 12 to 2 p.m. Neighborhood House is located at 29 South Mill Street. We also have a monthly legal aid clinic. We have a weekly program for people, social club for people with disabilities, weekly senior fitness programs, youth programs, toddler programs. Most of these programs are free. So neighborhoodhousemadison.org is our website. And my name is Joe. So joe@neighborhoodhousemadison.org is my email. Any questions about that or anything you've heard tonight, feel free to reach out. I love to hear from the community. So thanks for listening.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I can't. Yes, thank you so much to Eric and Joe, and of course, Al, for providing music, and Evan for producing. It is so wonderful to be back. We don't have that much time left, but we have a lot of great guests that we're going to pack into the month of August. And so, yeah, thank you so much. And again, it's myvote.wisconsin.gov, and the Neighborhood House and Wisconsin Conservation Voters links will be there, I think. And that is the sauce. Thank you. Optimistic times that don't